KRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The former police chief of Broadway, who was fired last week, says he will fight his termination. A state report says that Longwood University in Farmville is among a list of 7 state universities that should be monitored more closely for their financial viability. And a free speech watchdog group again includes Virginia in its annual report of America's Censored Classrooms. This is the WMRE Daily for Wednesday, October 9th. The former police chief in Broadway, who was fired last Friday, says he will fight his termination. The Daily News Record reports that Doug Miller has set up a GoFundMe site to cover legal fees. During a specially called meeting on Friday evening, the Broadway Town Council fired Miller by a 6-1 vote. Council gave no reason for Miller's termination except for a statement from Mayor Dave Jordan that said the Broadway Police Department would benefit from, quote, new leadership. Miller is the 5th Broadway town official to leave or be fired this year. Longwood University in Farmville is among a list of 7 state universities that should be monitored more closely for their financial viability. Cardinal News reports that's according to a report by the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission, or JLARC, the General Assembly's watchdog agency. The report finds that Longwood and other public institutions, including Radford and Christopher Newport Universities, are at some risk because of declining enrollment and other factors. The main driver behind the report is the nation's falling birth rate. A coalition of immigrant rights groups and the League of Women Voters in Virginia accused Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin and Attorney General Jason Meares of an ongoing purge of voter rolls that will disenfranchise legitimate voters. The Associated Press reports that the lawsuit filed Monday in U.S. District Court in Alexandria argues that an executive order issued in August by Youngkin violates a federal law that requires a 90-day quiet period ahead of elections on the maintenance of voter rolls. Youngkin's order required daily updates to voter lists to remove ineligible voters. The lawsuit says that the quiet period exists to prevent erroneous removals. A spokesman for Youngkin said the state is in compliance with federal law and is simply ensuring that only eligible citizens can cast ballots. The Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation is adding 13 new species to the Virginia Invasive Plant Species List. WRIC reports that the list contains non-native plant species that actively or potentially cause harm to humans or the state's ecosystems. Some of the new plants that were added include the two-horned trappa, curled pondweed, and fountain grass. To report an invasive plant in your area and see a list of all 103 species, go to invasivespeciesva.org. A free speech watchdog group has once again included Virginia in its annual report of America's Censored Classrooms. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Cutner has more.
Since the 1920s, PEN America has been monitoring freedom of speech in America's schools and colleges. Their newer project, America's Censored Classrooms, examines legislative and executive actions which limit that speech. Virginia had made recent past reports for local school boards banning books, and Virginia made the report again this year, but this time for what's happening in state colleges under Governor Glenn Youngkin's boards of visitors.
We have seen some efforts by the governor to try to use executive power to restrict speech on campus.
That's PEN America's Jeremy Young. He pointed to long-running efforts by VCU and George Mason University to create racial literacy courses. Those efforts were quashed after Youngkin appointees took control of college boards, demanded copies of the coursework, and then voted against the classes. Youngkin's office said in a wake of the votes, Virginia's public institutions should be teaching our students how to think, not what to think, and not advancing ideological conformity. But PEN America's Young thinks it's a symptom of a larger problem.
They're saying that universities should respond to the political whims and views and opinions of the governor's office. And that is completely antithetical to what universities are and how they function.
Youngkin's office didn't offer new comment on the issue when asked about the recent designation. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cutner.
Researchers are worried that the trust Virginians have in society is eroding. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope has the details.
The Virginia Trust Index might sound academic, but at its core, the metric from Roanoke College reveals a disturbing post-pandemic reality. Views about honesty and reliability are being scarred. Alice Louise Cassens is a senior analyst with the Institute for Policy and Opinion Research at Roanoke College.
Now we've kind of plateaued at a level that's below the value we were observing before the pandemic. So our question for the future is, have we had this permanent reduction in trust in one another, what we're calling a scarring effect, or will we eventually go back to where we were before?
The forensic details of the scarring effect might be revealed by the presidential election and its aftermath.
I'll be interested in seeing what happens to trust after the presidential election, because certainly during elections, I think you look at your neighbors a little differently if they think different from you, and that could impact the trust index. But does that taper off as we move further into 2025?
Cassin says the potential long-term damage of permanently scarred trust would be that contracts would take longer to negotiate, productivity would fall, and economic growth would deteriorate. Michael Pope.
And finally today, residents impacted by flooding from Helene and parts of Southwest Virginia can now apply for financial help through the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd reports.
On a sunny afternoon in Damascus, bulldozers are clearing trees and mud from side roads. The town now has water and electricity, and FEMA just opened a new disaster recovery center. Dozens of people have already stopped in on this Monday to apply for help, says Marita Sims, the manager of this FEMA center.
Excellent. It's been so busy today. So far, we got like around 60 as our number so far.
This center is located next to the Food City grocery store and the DMV office, where residents can also apply for a replacement ID if they lost theirs in the flood. FEMA can help some homeowners with repairs to a home and replacement of a vehicle if insurance doesn't cover it. The agency also provides temporary rental assistance for survivors who can't live in their homes because of flooding up to 18 months, explains agency spokesperson Trey Paul.
Which may include staying in a hotel, Airbnb, or staying with friends and family.
Virginia residents can apply for assistance in person at the Damascus Center Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. FEMA says it plans to open other recovery centers in Virginia later on, but didn't provide specifics about where those might be or when. In Damascus, I'm Roxy Todd.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.